I like to make people laugh, and I don't beat people over the head with Bibles and stuff. I like to talk to people about spiritual things because you know what? No matter how good you've got it in life, whether you're a millionaire, got no health problems, got no family problems, you ain't got no problems, if you die without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell, and that's not where God wants you to be. Did you know that? God doesn't want anyone to perish. It says it in the Bible. But so many people are perishing because they got it good. And the people that don't got it good, people are promising that Jesus, if you come to Jesus, all your problems will be solved. That's not true. I got more problems now than I ever had. However, peace through the storms is the victory. Say victory.
Victory.
There's the victory. He died on a cruel, rugged cross and died as a sinner without sinning so I could spend eternity in heaven through my faith and repentance that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And if I die today, I will hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's when the problems go away. So Jesus Christ died to save you from your what? Sins. The power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the consequences of dying in your own sin. Now, that's the real news. The other news is he wants you to be victorious while you're here in this sin-contaminated world. Say, I'm tired. Aren't you tired of having to resist temptation and to try to live a righteous life and do the right thing? Don't you get weary sometime in doing good? Oh, yeah, I'm the only one. See you later. I guess all y'all are all angels. The Bible says don't get weary in doing good. But sometimes we get weary. And it's maybe a health problem you're having. I've had some Job experiences. How many of you have read some books? Okay. And his family wanted him to curse God because he had everything taken away from him. And he did not. All his wealth, all his health, and he still stayed true because that's not why he loved God. God saved him from the pits of hell, and God gave him 100-fold more than he had. Come on, y'all. Story ain't over. All right? So when you get weary in doing good, keep on doing good. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're doing good, keep on doing good. This verse, casting all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. Wow. Okay, I'm done. See, it's a simple verse. And I've read this verse a lot. Casting. Casting, A-double-L. What does it mean? That's where we miss it. We miss the casting part. And we miss the all part. And then we miss that Jesus loves you and loves every little problem you've got in your life because he cares for you. You're a born-again Christian. This should encourage you like nobody's business. Now, how many of you have fished before? What's the first thing you learn when you fish? You cast. Well, thanks for ruining my punchline. I'm going to get you. You can buy them with worms already on it. Don't play with the preacher now. No, you can buy them with rubber worms already on the line. But you learn how to cast. And so us as Christians, we need to learn how to cast some of our cares. A-L-L.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say L.
L.
No, say A.
A.
Say I can't spell. But I read this verse. And this verse is quoted in Psalm 55:22. So Old Testament, New Testament, it's all God's word. It's all his love letter. Read the all of it, all of it, all of it. So this verse is also quoted in Psalms 55:22. Now, casting all your cares upon him, 1 Peter 5:7, is one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible. Because we want some of that. Yeah, he cares for us. Well, if he cared for you enough to save you from your sins and to die on a cruel, rugged cross and to suffer an inhumane death, and God treated him as if he was a sinner, but he took all your sins upon himself, doesn't he care about the small things in your life? Amen. The biggest thing is your soul. Make sure your soul is right so if you died today, you would go to heaven. But hello, it's more to it. The cookie. How many of you like cookies? This is a cookie. This is cookie time. This is one of the most popular verses in the Bible, yet we often take this verse out of context. I have done this. I have taken this verse out of context. When you read the Word of God, you got to say, well, where is it at? What's it trying to say? And this is some good note taking here, too. Note that the word casting is a participle, those are English majors, you know what participle is, making it dependent upon the previous statement in verse 6. I missed this for so long. I missed this, casting all your cares upon Jesus, for Jesus cares for you. A-double-L, cast them out, don't bring them back in, don't hold on to them, and don't try to reel them back in your own resources. See, we ain't doing it right. Some of us say, well, I have so many problems. Well, you know, your problems may not be over, but he's going to help you carry the burden. He wants to carry the burden. If he carried the burden for your sins on a cross, he wants to be a part of your life and your trouble. Turn to your neighbor and say, amen.
Amen.
Man, that's encouraging. When you're in the hospital, care. He cares. When you have family problems, care. When you have other issues in your life, he cares. He wants you to cast all your burdens on him. Do not try to reel them back. Now, I miss this verse because this verse is all set up. Casting all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you, is based on 1 Peter 5, 6. That's the next verse before. And this is where I've missed it a lot. And since I've got it the last month and I'm working on this. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got some work to do. Study to show yourself approved. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Come on, y'all. Get in there. Get in there. Dig on in there. And here's 1 Peter 5, 6. Before I cast all my cares upon him, I've got to do something. 1 Peter 5, 6, it explains it perfectly. Watch this. 1 Peter 5, 6, not 1 Peter 5, 7. Humble. Say humble.
Humble.
That's a difficult challenge sometimes, to be humble. And that's one of the greatest characteristics of a Christian. Because Jesus was the most humble person on the face of the earth that ever lived. It says humble yourselves. Just humble yourselves. See, when you cast all your burdens on Christ, you're going to have to first humble yourself. It takes humility to lean on someone. I have a shortcoming I want to share with you. Don't tell anybody. Shh. Turn to your neighbor and go, shh. Sometimes I don't cast my burdens on the Lord, and sometimes I don't let the body of Christ minister to me because I have a little too much pride in my life. You know what? I'm a guy that just, I like to just handle stuff, but let the body of Christ also minister to you. And sometimes I'm a little proud to let the body of Christ use their spiritual gifts to help me out. I'm at fault a lot of times. So if you have a brother or sister who wants to help you out, bring you closer to the Lord, I got it. No, let that person use their spiritual gifts to help you get closer to the Lord. Isn't that our goal, to get closer to the Lord Jesus? So before we cast all our cares upon him, we have to humble ourselves. Therefore, okay, here's the plan. Tells you what to do. The Bible says this is what you do and this is what you're going to get. I love that about the Bible. It asks a question and prompts an answer. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Any good? He's good all the time. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift. Say, lift! There's a four-letter word for you, that he may lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up when? In due time. Woo-wee! Not your time. Turn to your neighbor and say, not your time. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's timing ain't your timing. Here's our time, and we look at our watch. Bless me, Lord, now. Bless me, Lord, now. Bless me, Lord. Where's my blessing? It's past 12. That ain't God's timing. And some of y'all are going to get blessed when you humble yourself before the Lord, because he's going to lift you up. If you're a born-again Christian, you're a child of the living God, he's going to lift you up. Just wait on him. Humble yourself before him. Watch this. Casting is not a command, but it's the means of how we humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6. We humble ourselves by casting our anxieties on God. Don't try to handle it yourself. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to cast your burdens, your anxieties, your concerns on him. That's what he wants you to do. So why aren't we doing it? Sometimes we get in trouble. Sometimes we get tired because we're not doing this. We're not humbling ourselves, and then we're not casting. God's care comes when we humble ourselves. Say humble again.
Humble.
You got to humble yourself. And then also you depend on his grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Can you buy grace? No. I asked a person the other day, I said, are you going to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, man. Why? Because I'm a good person. Really? How good do you have to be good? Pretty good. He says, how are you? I said, I'm both pretty and good. You cannot get to heaven by being a good person. Grace is unmerited favor that God has given you through Jesus Christ our Lord without a price. It costs God, but it's not going to cost you. It's going to cost you to surrender your life and be humble before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are we going to, and then after that, are we going to fall and trip at times even after coming to know Christian? Sure. Don't you think God knows that? That's why he's a shepherd. Shepherds go and get one sheep that's gone astray. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you gone astray a couple times? The sheep will leave 99 to go get that one. It may be one listening to my voice today. And so it depends on God's grace. God's grace is amazing. The more I grow in my walk with the Lord, the more God's grace becomes much more amazing. Because the more I learn about God, the more I learn about my sin and how corrupt I really was before I came to the Lord. I understand how grace is so amazing as I grow in my walk with the Lord, even though I trip and fall. I got news for you. Some Christians still sin. They're not sinless. Jesus was without sin, but you're going to sin sometime. But you know what? You have an advocate that you can go to and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. I've sinned against you. And right away, he forgives you if you're under grace.
Amen.
Goodness gracious, without grace, we're all in trouble. Casting means to throw upon and thus to deposit. You know, you go to the bank. How many of you have been to the bank before and made a deposit? I don't do enough of that. I need to do more, really. But casting means to make a deposit. So you can get it. Make a deposit on the Lord, on all your cares. The Greek word for casting, for a man who carried a heavy burden and threw it upon a camel's back. So he's like, back in the days, with all this burden, he's so tired, he's about to wear out, about to fall down. All of a sudden, he sees the camel there, and he said, what am I carrying this stuff for? Why am I carrying these burdens on my back? The camel's right there, and the Greek word means he just threw them on the camel's back and goes, ha. See, some of you got burdens. Some of you have anxieties that you're carrying right now. And the Lord wants you to release. Say release.
Release.
Say release.
Release.
Say, Lord, right now,
I release my burdens
and my concerns
and my anxieties
and everything else I can't mention. I release it on you. And I am not going to take it back, Lord. In Jesus' name. I told you. This sermon would encourage you. Because I preached it to myself last night. And it's coming out better today. But I always preach to myself. Always. I spent 2 hours preaching to myself last night. I won't do 2 hours today. But he threw it on the camel's back, so all of a sudden he's relieved from all this burden. You don't got to carry it. God doesn't want you to carry your burdens on yourself. If he saved you by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, then he wants to be a part of your life. Why would he save you and then go, you're on your own? The thing I love about God, I love so much about him, everything. He's perfect. God said to me, he said, well, God doesn't know how I feel. I witnessed to the guy. And I said, can I tell you something different? See, I wasn't preaching to him. I was just, when I talk to people in the parking lot, I don't preach. It's just like, can I tell you something different? Maybe you haven't heard before. Yeah, what you got? I said, did you know God came to earth as man? Huh? I've been in church a lot of times, man. What are you talking about? God became a man in Jesus Christ. 100% God, 100% man. He never quit being God to become man. Jesus Christ, your Savior, has experienced every area of human emotion that you will ever experience in your life. Amen. Hallelujah! God's not sitting on some cloud saying, oh, do the best you can. No, he came to earth to experience what you will experience in your life. So I have a Savior. You have a Savior that knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to have his friends betray him. He knows what it's like to not have a home of his own. Did you know Jesus didn't have a home of his own? You could not write Jesus a letter. He had no address. Some of y'all can relate to it. Be encouraged by these words. Foxes have holes and the birds have nests. Yeah, I got a house. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That should encourage y'all if you're in transition. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you in transition? I know I am. Casting carries the idea of throw. In a minute, I'm very clever person sometimes. I kind of surprise myself. I work on this a couple days. It says casting in the Greek means to throw. What's this? It's a ball. Say ball.
Ball.
Very good, y'all. Y'all need some help big time. I need to pray some extra with y'all. This is a ball. Oh, by the way, personally, when I was a latchkey kid, and I didn't know where my dad was. He was out doing what he was doing. I was pretty much by myself. Balls of all sizes and shapes saved me. I'd go out to the alley and throw it for hours. I would throw the ball against the church wall that we were right next to our house. I would throw it down the alley. I would bounce it up and down. I love balls. Till to this day, I have all kinds of balls at my house. Small balls, big balls, hard balls, all kinds of balls, golf balls. I love balls for some reason because they occupied a lot of my time when I was having a tough time with my family life. And when I read about the Greek word of the idea of casting all your cares upon it is to throw. I'm going to ask somebody to play Jesus in a little bit. That's a big burden, isn't it? Would you like to play Jesus? I wrote some cares on this ball because I'm going to throw it to Jesus, but I'm not going to ask it back. Say, that's clever, Ross. Thank you. Hey, anytime. Amen, Brother Ross. Amen. Appreciate it.
Amen.
This sermon is so good, I'm have to sign my own Bible in the back. But I'm gonna ask somebody to play Jesus, and I'm gonna cast off. I wrote some down, and for the last week I've been asking people, a few people, what are some of your anxieties or cares you have in your life? This is what I wrote on the ball, just a few of them. Stress. See, I print pretty good too. Relationships. Mm-hmm. Health.
Oh yeah.
Whoa. Been a big one on mine. Finances. Cast all your cares. Cast all that care. Loneliness. Some of the most popular people are the loneliness. You know all these popular movie stars that are committing suicide? It's like they have everything. All the popularity, all the notoriety, and they're committing suicide. Loneliness is a big issue. Insecurities. Yeah? I took a poll. Discouragement. How many of you have been discouraged? Cast all your cares upon Him. Doubts. Sometimes we doubt, don't we? We doubt if our salvation is real. Sometimes we fall short. We say, we lost our salvation. You can't lose it if it's real to start with. But you know, sometimes we have doubts about, well, God, where are you going to take me, Lord? Where am I going to go, Lord? It doesn't seem like you're working in my life right now. Cast all your cares upon Him. But you've got to humble yourself first. Because if you humble yourself and you're on your knees and you humble yourself before God, then through the mighty hand, He will lift you up. And when He lifts you up, everybody around you going to see you.
Amen.
And they're going to give God the glory. They're going to say, man, God has done a work in your life and you have been through the ringer and back. Amen. We've been in the dungeon experiences, haven't we? Have you been in a dungeon experience like John the Baptist? Spent a lot of time down in that dungeon. Commitments, too many. I'm trying to lower my commitments. I've overdone it. You know, I'm trying to get other people to do some of the things that I do. I want to not have so many commitments that I'm not doing anything real good. I want to cast all my commitments that I've overshot. My future. Wow, everybody kind of know, where am I going now, Lord? What am I going to do now? Trust. Have somebody in your life walked away from you when you trusted them the most? Mm-hmm. Irritations, wow. How many times? Irritations, how many of you get irritated sometimes? Yeah. Yesterday in traffic, I was irritated. Boy, I tell you, it was irritating. People were just, I don't know what was wrong with people. The traffic was terrible. I was irritated. I just said, Lord, take this irritation away. He said, cast it on me. And then He gave me peace. Don't you want peace through your troubles and concerns? I want, you know what? The trials and tribulations are going to come. The storms are going to come in your life, my friends. But here's the victory. Is when you have the peace that passes all understanding because you have put your faith and trust in the Prince of Peace. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace.
He's the author. And so, I'm going to pick somebody to play Jesus. And I'm going to cast it. And then I ain't going to take it back. Is that pretty good? It means to roll upon. God wants us to roll our burdens upon Him. God wants us to have a target. Jesus is the target. So, how many of you played darts before? I like darts. I used to play a lot of darts. You know, I was pretty good at it, you know, during that day. So, Jesus is the target. The dart is your care, your concern, your anxiety. Throw the dart to Jesus and don't go pick it back up. Let it fall where it may on Jesus. Don't go back and get it. He's the target. The dart is your troubles, concerns, your anxieties. Throw it upon Jesus. And you'll be set free. Now, your problems may not go away immediately. But what you need the most is to humble yourself and to have the peace when things are going really bad. That's the victory. Because somebody's going to say, haven't you been through a lot? Yep. What? Why are you seem to have some calmness and peace about you? Good testimony. Say good testimony. It's not going to mean that you're going to have $1 million in your bank account or your health is going to go away immediately. But at the 1 Peter 5:6, in due time, say due time. He will lift you up, y'all. He will. Give Him time. Give Him time. Even when you're frustrated and you're irritable and you have all these doubts and all this stuff, cast all your cares, not some, because He wants all of them, not some of them. It's the whole candy bar. The New Testament uses casting. This is interesting. I'm a Bible student. I'm not a scholar, but I'm a Bible student. But this is interesting to me. The New Testament uses casting only two times in the whole New Testament. Just two. Huh. It's a very important scripture, but it's only two. Casting. The New Testament uses it two times here in Luke 19:35. Just two times. I thought it was interesting. Luke says, "Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him." Wow. Doesn't he want to be a part of every part of your life, Jesus? He saved your soul. He wants you to cast all your burdens. The reason we're not going anywhere with anything, first, we've got to humble ourselves. Because see, that was the part I was missing. I was wanting to cast all my cares on Jesus, but I was not doing what 1 Peter 5:6 said. Humble myself first. See, there's conditions on what God's promises are. God, say, God never breaks his promise.
God never breaks his promise.
Never. He's got promises all in the Bible, but to partake of the promises, you got to do what he says do. They're conditional based on what he says. So humble yourself, and therefore, under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up. Y'all going to be lifted. If you're a born again Christian and you're struggling, start humbling yourself and then casting all your burdens. You may have some here that I didn't write on my ball here. And there's plenty of cares and concerns and anxieties we have. But Jesus says, cast them all on me. Throw the dart and cast the line and leave it to him. Don't try to use your own resources to take care of your problems, y'all. That's where we get in trouble. That's where I've gotten in trouble. I hope this helps you, because we cannot separate God's care from God's sovereign plan for us. You know what? Whether you know it or not, if you're a born-again Christian, God's got something great for you. It may not happen the way you want it to. Most times it doesn't, does it? You may have never thought you'd be where you are right now. But you know what? All the apostles, when they came to know the Lord and they got saved, their lives became unbearable. They were punished for their faith. They lost their families and their friends, and they were shipwrecked and stoned. Sign me up for that. See, people are preaching the wrong Jesus in pulpits today. Come to Jesus and you won't have any of those problems. Go like that. You may have more problems. See, God didn't promise you a life just free of problems. He promised you eternal life, walking on streets of gold. Man, it won't be long before I see the Lord. I'm getting up there in age. So I'm letting my hair grow out gray. And I remember when I was 25, and I looked at people that were my age, 59 years old, and I said, they were old. What? That's me. I'm just one step closer to seeing my Savior. And then I won't have any more problems. I won't have any more burdens anymore, because there's no burdens in heaven. There's no health problems in heaven. There's no finance problems in heaven. There's no problems in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. I preach at a senior facility. Bless their hearts. They remind me of my mom and dad. They would be about 89 years old, and a lot of those people are that age. And somebody says, why do you like to preach down at seniors chapel? They love my I preach old school kind of. They like you preach it. They like preaching. They're from old school. And it reminds me of my mom and dad if they were living. And you see a lot of walkers, you know. And then you see a lady that hasn't used a walker, then she's using a walker. And I always tell them, I said, if you're a child of God through Christ Jesus, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there won't be any walkers in heaven. Wow, that's great. You're going to be absolutely perfect like Christ. You're going to be like Christ for eternity. There's no more tears. And by the way, if you've shed some tears today because of your burdens, I got good news for you. The Bible says God has recorded every tear that you've ever shed. The tears that you've shed that nobody saw. You know what I'm saying. The ones that nobody saw but him. He records them. He knows when you cried and nobody was around. He knows those nights you stayed up and cried about all the stuff that was going on in your life and nobody was around to see you. But you know what? The Lord was there to see you. And He's going to show you, I saw you crying. I was with you then. God loves us so much. He didn't just send His Son to die for us. He wants us to be victorious. But you've got to do what He says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In due time, don't be watching your spiritual watch. Come on, Lord. Time for a blessing, Lord. No, in His time, and He will lift you up. Say, I'm ready, Lord.
I'm ready, Lord.
When you're ready. So we cannot separate God's care from God's sovereign plan for us. He's sovereign. He knows before we do. He's perfect in every way. God's plan for the early church. This was interesting in this study. God's plan for the early church, when people were losing their families, losing their jobs because they were converting from being a Jew or half Jew or mixed breed or whatever, they were converting to Christianity and they were getting disowned from their family. And so they were suffering. Say suffering.
Suffering.
See, when you suffer for Christ, all the cookie and all the blessings become much more intense. And at the early church, they were suffering. Well, that ain't what I signed up for. See, people are coming to Jesus for the wrong reasons. Suffering may be a part of your plan, God's plan for you. And so the thing is, understand that. Don't say, gosh, Lord, why am I going through this? Treat it as a growth experience for you, okay? They need to humble themselves to God's plan that for that suffering and to His grace to provide for them in suffering. Suffering happens every day when you're a Christian. It can be more for some people, less for some people. It can last longer for some people, shorter for some people. It's like going through a storm. Sometimes storms just blast through for 15 minutes, but can cause massive destruction. Some can last and linger and linger and linger, and they're not that great in their power, but they linger so long, they just dump all this water, and it's catastrophic, but it's a different storm. Some of y'all are going through some storms in your life right now. And so say, yes, Lord, I'm going to endure, Lord, because I'm not going to trust my own resources. I'm going to lean on You and cast all my burdens on You, and You're going to get me through this storm. He wants to. Why would He leave you out? Suffering is a part of our lives. So I want you to humble yourself first before 1 Peter 5:7 is 1 Peter 5:6. And I used to read this and I didn't read 1 Peter 5:6. And I've been missing out on some. Because first of all, I need to get my humility right. Now people say, well, you're sarcastic, you're funny, and you know you're smart at it. That's just my personality. I don't take myself too seriously. That is not who I am. I have fun with people. With children, with y'all, make people laugh. It's just my personality. Don't change anything about who you are because Christ made you before you're in your mother's womb. And if somebody says, hey, what you trying to do? You're trying to do the right thing, but remember where you used to go and the things you used to do? Say, hey, 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 stop, right now. You need to read your Bible because in case you didn't know, I've repented of those sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He says He has forgotten that sin as far as the east is from the west. Don't let the devil bring up your past because he will. Your old buds, your homies. Yeah. I remember where you used to go. I remember who you used to hang around with. So what? All the apostles had their own problems before they knew Jesus. So don't let anybody try to take away your joy. The devil can't take away your salvation, but he can try to take away your joy. Yes. Don't let anybody try to bring up sins of your past when God has forgiven them through His blood on the cross.
Amen.
Just gently say, you need to go read your Bible because I've been forgiven. I'm a child of God. Well, you still ain't doing quite right. Hey, you know what? That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus is there for us to help us into the path of righteousness. He wants us to not stay where we are, wants us to be more like Him, and that's going to take some work. Turn to your neighbor and say, it ain't easy. Living a righteous life and doing the right thing. That's why the Bible says, don't get weary in doing good. Don't get tired when you start doing good. And you go, what's your flesh say? What's your flesh say? Well, just one more time. Just one more time. One more time leads to how many more times? Mm-hmm. Oh, the devil said, just one more time. Anyway, you say, just one more time. No, I don't do that no more. Just ring, hurt you. You might have somebody call you up. Hey, we got something going on down the street. Just come on down, say hello to your old friends. I ain't going to fall in that trap. The devil sets the traps, doesn't he? He's going to throw that fiery dart. And he's going to pick on the weakest. You know, when a lion goes and hunts for a zebra, most of the time, they look for the weak zebra. They don't want that big, powerful one that can kick his head off. They'll go to the smaller one or the one that's maybe limping, the one they can get to the easiest. And the devil, once you rebuke him and say, you know what? See you later, alligator. Then you're doing good. How many of you have been tempted in the last month? In all points, Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. We have a high priest, y'all. This is encouraging. We have a high priest. He is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all, there it is, in all where it comes back, in all points was tempted, yet without sin. So let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive forgiveness and obtain grace. See, Jesus knows how it is to be tempted to the nth degree. More so than you. But yet he never gave in. So that tells me through the power of Holy Spirit, you can have that same victory too. Stay in his word. Stay in his word. That's your shield, right? That's your shield. Put on the full plate of the, right? Don't just put on like the helmet of salvation or the blessed breastplate of righteousness, or the child's, you got to put on the full armor because you know why? The enemy, I won't even use his name, I'll just say enemy because that's what Jesus said. Your enemy, he's going to try to hit you where you don't have your armor on. So wear your full armor now because it is a battle, but it's a battle that's already been won in Christ Jesus. He won the battle at the cross. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hello? God bless you.
Gosh, this is powerful. I mean, it's alive. We are humble when we depend on God's grace for our lives. Just be humble first. Surrender. That's why when we raise our hands up to the Lord, we open up with open palms. Because if you're closing them, you're hanging on to something. So next time you pray to God, release. Send them up to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him. It will make a difference in your Christian experience. That's the promise. When we humble, we depend on God's grace for our lives. And I'm going to give you an application. We're going to be done. I say that all the time. I'm going to be done for the fourth time. God does not design the situation. Oh, man. I'm starting. This is going to be good. I finished the good part for the last. Y'all going to remember this one. This is a note-taker sentence right here. Ready? My God. This is going to encourage you. All right, we got the humility, right? We got the God's timing. He's going to lift you up in due time if you humble yourself. We got that. And then we've got the cast all, A-double-L, say A-double-L. Write it on your forehead when you look in the mirror. Write it in reverse so you can spell it right. All, not some. He wants it all. God does not design the situations in your life to break us, but to make us. That's just too good. I'm going to read that one again. God does not design the situations of your life. Everything's not going to be perfect all the time. In fact, it may be the opposite, but God did not design the situations you're going through right now. Right now. All the burdens in your that you haven't released to Him right now. He did not design these situations of your life to break you, but to make you. He wants to conform you into the image of His Son. And if you're a Christian and you don't want to be more like Jesus, something's wrong. Something's very wrong. You as a Christian, if you're truly born again, you're not just pretending to be one. A lot of those pretenders out there, you know, know those people. When the light's on and everything's hallelujah, glory to God, and the light shuts off. See, when the light gets turned on, all the roaches scatter. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, is that you? Hey, I'm just saying. Don't be throwing stuff at me, you know what I'm saying? Turn that light on, boy, all them roaches scatter. So some people are like that just in the light, you know. But there's going to be dark times in your life.
Amen.
And Jesus knows how you feel. That's the one thing you need to know. God became man to experience every human emotion that you've ever felt. He knows it before you. He knows how to be. What's it like to be tempted? His friends deserted him when he was going to the cross. He didn't have a home of his own. I mean, he went through everything that you are experiencing. That's why, as perfect Son of God, He wants you to cast all your cares after salvation. And then what? Then what? Okay, I've been saved. Then what? Nothing's happening, Lord. Well, do what He says do. And things start changing in God's timing. He didn't allow this stuff to break you, but to make you. And we are to move from trusting in our own resources. How many of you have just done that? Trusted in your own. I can do it. No, you can't. I can do it. No, you can't. Now, if you could do it, just throw the scripture away. Casting all your cares upon yourself. No. See, we needed to go ahead and trust God. That's a form of trust. Casting all your cares upon Jesus, for He cares for you. See, don't try to handle it. It's not your battle to fight. So release. When believe it or not, I went camping up in the mountains one day. Can you believe me, city boy? With two of my friends, right? They were going to laugh at me because they've been camping for a million times. And little city boy, first time rodeo. You're talking about a trek. We trekked for 2 hours to the campsite in the mountains. Now, getting from where we parked down to the campsite was 2 hours, but it was downhill. A little downhill. I had a 40-pound pack on me, 40. They were all like, well, we kept you light. We got 60 on ours. That was pretty good. I said, man, y'all are pretty good. I said, man, this is tough, but I'm going downhill, so it's a little easier. So we get to the campsite, and the campsite was over there. We finally get to the area, and it's getting dark, and everything that we were going to use at the camp was on three people's backs. Three, everything. Food, tent, water, everything was on three men's back. That's it.
Now that's trust. Hope we didn't forget anything. Oh, did y'all forget the tent?
And then this was amazing. And so they were looking at me and they were going, you know, you're doing pretty good, Ross. You're doing pretty good. I said, well, thank you. I I'm doing my best. I'm huffing and puffing. I'm going downhill. I'm huffing and puffing.
So we had to stop, eat an energy bar, have some fellowship, drink some water, da, da, da. We get to the campsite. And both of them look together. They look at each other. They don't look at me, right? And I said, what y'all talking about? What y'all doing? What y'all up to? They're my friends, right? You know your friends and they're up to something. They're going like,
they said, we're here. And I said, we're here what? I said, there's a stream that's about 50 yards wide and it's freezing cold. What are you talking about, Willie? He said, well, the campsite's on the other side of the river. What? No. This is a big joke. They said, no, there it is. It's already been, somebody's already used it sometime in the run. I said, really? They said, really? And I said, I ain't first. And I said, it was knee deep. Freezing cold. I mean, freezing cold. It was in March. Because I told them, I said, I want to go camping, but I don't want to do it when it's hot. Because I don't want to be in a tent when it's hot. Icky. I want to go when it's cold and you love the fire and, you know, you hang around the fire at night. I didn't want to go when it was hot. So, yeah, they sent me up there at March. And that water was cold. I mean, colder than cold. And so the first guy, first friend went up and even him as a pro, he rolled up his pants leg and, you know, he's psyching himself up. And he's going like, okay, here we go. And he gets in the water and there's rocks on the bottom. And he's going,
I knew I was in trouble.
So I had to psych myself up. I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm probably going to get somewhere with it. And if he, as a you know experienced camper, was having problems with his water, I'm going to have a little issue myself. So I'm rolling up my pants leg. I think I videotaped one of us. I had my camera with me. I always have my camera with me. I got in there, and I said, hey, what am I supposed to do? He says, go as fast as you can. And I said, well, do I need to squeal and holler? Because what was going on, the water was so cold, it was like needles in my leg. And so, to get to the security of the campsite, I had to suffer just a little bit. You talking about suffering just a little bit? I mean, I looked at from my knees to my feet. They were blue. No, they were purple. But it only lasted for a short while. Then it was time to unpack that heavy load, start the campsite, and I started trying to be like, I want to help. And I kind of messed things up for them. They said, just sit there and watch. That's a tent, man. That's not a, you know. I'm going like, okay. They said, you just watch right now. We'll do it. I'm going like, okay. And I'm going like, shoo. Oh, I said, really? Are we here? They said, we're here. We're done. So the burden comes off our back. We do the campsite, the tent. We make the fire pit. We hang out all our clotheslines. It only lasted for a little while, but man, I was thinking about having to do it again. But it wasn't quite as bad because I knew what to expect. And sometimes we're going to go through life like that. You're going to have to cross that stream, that cold stream, to get where God wants you to be. Yes. And he wants you to get there. And he got me there in one piece. Now, going back up the hill, different story. Did they offer to carry my luggage that was on my back going up the incline? No. And then this is funny. We had to stop about three times because I was going like, gosh, this is going up the incline with 40 pounds on your back is a big burden. And they were kind of going like, you're doing pretty good, Ross. Well, I was in good shape then, and I was not eating a lot of meat, and I was eating healthy. And what happened is that after we got back to the car, I started craving a cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. I want a cheeseburger. And I said, do y'all crave like greasy, you know, some greasy good cheeseburger? They said, yeah, because all your blood has been flowing through your body. And all the fat content has been burned off. And he says, that's why you're craving something greasy. I said, man, let's find a barbecue stand somewhere because, man, I haven't craved meat like this in a long time. So I want y'all to know that to get where you got to go and where God wants you to be, you're going to have to cross some streams that are uncomfortable. And you're going to have to wear some stuff on your back that you don't need to be wearing all the time. So remember, he wants to make you, not break you. And they laughed at me. I was the entertainment of the whole thing. They just thought I was something else. They said, you're doing pretty good for not going to camping. I said, well, thank you. I said, I'm just thinking about crossing that river again. Is there something else we can do? And I tried to bribe them. I said, let me think. Can you carry... What can I do for you if I can ride on your back? They said, man, you weigh 170 pounds. I ain't even riding on my back. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. That was a funny story. That was a real story, too. I have some good friends. So we move from trusting our own resources and trusting our own strategies for life. We don't want to trust in our future. Let God handle your future. Let him handle your present. And he's already handled your past by forgiving you of your sins. If you're not born again today, we've got some people here at the ministry that can help you know the Lord for the first time. And if you know the Lord already, maybe you've gone astray like a sheep. We got some friends here in the ministry that can help you come on back, you know, give you a word of encouragement. God is willing. Say willing.
Willing.
God is willing. What time is it? 12? God is willing and God is able. Say he's willing.
Willing.
And he's able.
He,
in other words, he wants to and he has the ability to take care of all your burdens and anxieties and concerns. To carry the heaviest burden you have in your life. Won't you do that? When you are under pressure from worry, say worry. I got a four-letter word from you. When you're under pressure from worry, here's the four-letter word. Stop! Stop! When you're under pressure from worrying about things in your life, stop! Turn to your neighbor and say, stop! Take a breath. Take a deep breath. No, you're hyperventilating. Just go up. Let it out through your mouth. Oh, relax. Relax, y'all. God's got you covered. And relax in God's grace. It's always amazing. Bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Selah. Psalm 68:19. I'm going to cast my burdens upon somebody that's going to play Jesus. Who can catch a ball? Come to the front. I don't want to knock you out. You going to play Jesus?
Yes.
Say, I am Jesus.
I am Jesus.
I am Ross. I'm Ross. And I have all these burdens. These are all my burdens. And it tells me in the Bible to throw them to you because you want to carry the burdens. So I'm going to throw it to you, all my burdens and concerns and anxieties, and I'm going to put them on your back, Jesus. Is that okay? I'm going to humble myself first. Lord, humble me. Let me be humble when I do this, knowing that you have my life in your hands and you care about everything in my life. No matter how big a problem it is or how small a problem it is, I am going to cast and throw my burdens on you, Lord. One.
2, 3.
God bless you. God bless y'all. See y'all next time.